So here's the handout that's sitting on the webpage after that PowerPoint and hopefully is somewhere near it in your packet. Example of building and using a bivariate regression model. And what I like to do is I like to go through the didactic stuff and then take you back through those key ideas where I'm showing you how SPSS works. It gives me a way of repeating myself one more time without it being quite so obvious. In most prediction situations, we want to know the value of a variable that we don't have, either because that variable hasn't occurred yet, we can't afford it, or because there's an ethical situation. Those are the three basic elements of prediction. Can't have it yet, can't afford it, can't have it ever. We think we have a variable called the predictor that we can substitute for that difficult-to-obtain criterion. Using the predictor, we can create a regression formula that allows us to predict the difficult-to-obtain criterion. Once we have the formula, we can estimate any person's criterion score from the predictor score. Listen to what we do. We build a model. We then use that model as if we had information that we don't really have. Okay? So I don't hire you and let you work with me for 6 months and decide if I want to keep you or not. I give you an assessment, a test, an interview, something. But then I act as if and make a decision as if I really know. You with me? I want you to cling to the tenuousness, the possible shit involved in this process. When you're applying to graduate school, we don't know how you're going to do in graduate school. We know how you did in undergraduate. We build a model. But then we act as if we know. And all we're really doing is predicting, which is yet another synonym for hope. P-values, a form of hope. Y-prime values, another form of hope. Two-step process, same thing we just talked about. We're going to have a modeling sample, then we're going to have an application sample. So the graduate faculty decided they only wanted to admit students who were likely to have a first-year GPA of at least 3.5. Naturally, one can't know a student's first-year GPA before they're admitted, so this is a job for linear regression. Looking over the records for the last couple of years, we're able to compile a database of 30 students where we have their GRE and their first-year GPA. This is the modeling sample. It's a sample for which we have people and we have both scores for them. So, we go into SPSS and we build a modeling sample. We're going to use the same SPSS, or same part of SPSS, for bivariate regression and for multivariate regression. There is a part tucked away in there that I could have magically shown you just the bivariate and then changed later, but why bother? What SPSS calls the dependent variable, most regression folks call the criterion. What it calls the independence, most regression folks call the predictors. This is amazing because they won't call them independent variables in a freak and ANOVA, which is much more likely to have experimental data applied to it. But over here, where there's almost certainly no random assignment, manipulation, causal interpretability, we call it the independent variable. Who makes this shit up? So that's the minimum. There's all sorts of fun stuff you can learn to do. And you get back these three tables. This is the R, and SPSS is going to give you a capital R, whether it's a bivariate or a multivariate regression. This goes all the way back to the old days of mainframes and line printers where there only was capital letters. There weren't any lowercase letters, and so a lot of it is still in capitals. It gives the R square for us. One number that we're going to come back and talk about is the standard error of the estimate. This is literally the standard deviation of the residuals. On average, how much do we screw up? On average, we screw up by about 0.48. This ANOVA table is a significance test of the null hypothesis that is zero. So instead of just getting a p-value, we now get a whole ANOVA table testing the null hypothesis that these two are both zero. This will get larger and larger as we work our way through other models. And we get the coefficients. What we're used to calling A, it calls the constant. So if you have, uh, if you have an analytic GRE score of 0, you're expected to have a first-year GPA of negative 0.949. Negative GPA doesn't make sense, but you cannot physically have a GRE score of 0. So it's a good example of how it's just the y-intercept. It's not necessarily a predictive value. And here we have the B, or the regression weight, for the analytic subscale of the GRE. And it's in exponential notation. What that means is you move that decimal 3 points to the left. So what we're talking about here is a 0.007. And you say to yourself, you know, 0.007 isn't a lot, is it? And it's wildly significant. Remember your scale. The GRE has a big standard deviation. GPA has a little standard deviation, so we have to scrunch GRE down to be a mimic of GPA, so that the standard deviation of Y prime is as close as possible to the standard deviation of Y. This is how we would translate these numbers out. And here's an example of a write-up. And a table. Now, step two, we're going to apply the regression formula to a group of applicants. Notice, this is a new set of folks. This is the people who have applied. We don't know their GRE because they're not in graduate school. The only variable in the model for us is the GRE analytic. So we do a compute statement, and I really, really, really don't care if you type stuff into a syntax window or use the graphical interface. I really, really, really don't care. At some point, you're going to type something like this in somewhere and call it something like this. And this is just the notation that I use. GPA underline P means the predicted version of GPA. The notation you'll see me use a lot is that the name of the variable, then underline, and stuff to explain what I've done to it. We plug that in, and when we hit OK, SPSS is going to add a new column out to the right of the data set with these Y prime values in it. It's sometimes easier to think about these if you sort them. And so here's just sorting those. And so the littler numbers are going to be on the top, and the bigger numbers are going to be on the bottom. And here's our data set. And here's our GRE analytic. And here's our predicted GPA. And you'll notice that these line up the same as these. Okay. This is nothing other than that with its mean and its standard deviation changed. That's all that it is. Two linear transformations. We multiply it times 0.007, whatever the hell it is, to scrunch down the standard deviation. We add negative 0.9 to get the means aligned, and we end up with these things that look like GPAs. Now, if we were going to follow through with why we started, we would draw a thick black line across here, and we would say, these people are worthy of our attentions and investment. They all suck and must stay home. And that's what you do when you make predictions. We're not talking about hypotheses anymore. We're not talking about testing theory. We're not talking about on average. We're making decisions about people. And we embrace some and send others home. You should worry about doing that. And that's today's fluffy moment. For example, look at this. Young God, bring them to us and pay them. 0.05 difference in their predicted score. How about a little context? How about we go back up here and we remind ourselves that we're doing this based on a correlation of 0.6. Pretty big, but not all of it. We translate that over. We've accounted for a little more than a third of the variance. That doesn't sound really rocking either. But at some point, you got to make a decision. And this cutoff uses a decision so that there is a 0.05 difference between the poorest that we embrace and the bestest that we send home. And keep in mind that the standard error of estimate is 0.48. almost a unit of measure, almost a whole factor of 10 more than the separation. On average, we're going to be wrong by this much. So it's not at all hard to believe that any of these that have a predicted value than higher than 0.35 won't necessarily really have a GPA higher than 0.35 or 3.5. You with me? Given the average error, we're not absolutely certain about any of these folks, let alone this one. And we're not absolutely certain about any of these folks either, let alone that one. And that's just on average. Remember, there's standard deviation around this. Okay. So, go easy when you're thinking about prediction that turns into selection. Remember how fat the typical envelope is and how many different y-scores there are for a given x-score. This is where the significance testing really takes some crap. Because we're testing if it's different from zero, but then we're treating different from zero as, yeah, let's go. Take a look at that standard error estimate. Ask yourself, how much variance am I really accounting for? Take a look at the actual predicted scores. It will mellow you. Okay?